we're ready to go. We're going to cross the Atlantic and, in fact, land in Galway as we welcome JP McMahon. How are you, JP? How are you doing?
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Great. Okay, you might start with giving a little flavour of what's going on in Galway, and indeed you being the creator of Food on the Edge, this international food summit. Who does it attract mostly? For those of us who don't know, it's a boiling egg. Yeah.
I suppose it attracts people in the industry, I suppose, anyone involved in food, from producers to chefs to restaurateurs to farmers, anyone, I suppose, is interested in where food is going and what's happening to it.
There still are many, particularly, obviously, those who haven't visited Ireland, who might indeed smirk at those, you know, who would say we're going to Ireland for the food. But in fact, there has been such a transition in reality of what Ireland, the message from Ireland and for tourism to Ireland is, don't go to Ireland for the food because you'll have to find another reason. What brought about this huge, massive transition from what used to be, minimal food, meat, potatoes, to what it is today now, an outstanding reputation of Ireland, and not just in Europe, but throughout the world, and the food?
I'd say it was it's certainly been a gradual change. I mean, I always believe we have had excellent products for a long, long time in terms of beef and cheese and dairy and fish. And I think we just did that. The confidence wasn't there to use them. And over the last, say, 20 years, particularly in the last 10, I mean, a lot of younger chefs, including myself, have opened up restaurants and kind of reinvestigated what Irish food means, and I think that's been happening all over the country. And so now, when you come to Ireland, you can travel for the food. And like our restaurant in here, which has a Michelin star, I think 60 or 70% of our guests are American, so they travel here to get a flavour of the west of Ireland, everything from seaweed and oysters and of course, beef and lamb and all of the other wonderful products. But no, it has been a gradual one. But I think the internet and social media has played a part in terms of accelerating, in terms of being able to see what other countries are doing and what's happening in other places. And also cheaper travel. I think that definitely changed things as well. People were able to travel, see what other cultures had, and then apply that back to our own country.
Now, is there a sense of competition with chefs, with cooks throughout Ireland? I know, for instance, that you have Nevin Maguire there from Cavan, who's participating. You have a lot of Ireland's, great chefs, known, particularly, I'd say, in the United States and North America, all getting together there. Is there, is there a little bit of elbowing going on in the sense of, no, I'll show you what I do with that?
No, not at all. I think it's quite a tight knit community, and I think the Irish chefs are coming together to, I suppose, exchange stories about what they do, and also I think there's a great openness in the industry now that was probably separated from 20 years ago, and particularly the ways in which, I suppose, restaurants used to hold on to their recipes and their signature dishes. I think things are a lot more open now in the industry, and that's certainly what we try and promote. But no, I think it's a great, I suppose, 2 days where everyone comes together. There's a great international spotlight on Galway and Ireland, and We have a little food village with 70 to 90 Irish producers, predominantly artisan producers, and it's just great to for them to expose to get exposure for their products and to show all of the different chefs who are coming from the four corners of the world.
You have, traveled, to the United States, to Mexico, to Finland, to Canada, a lot of other countries. What are for those who want to meet you, for those who want to explore your own expertise and the expertise of chefs and cooks throughout Ireland, what are they actually, what prompts the curiosity with respect to what you do, which is different from, say, many other countries known for food, excellent food?
I think the terroir of Ireland and the specific products that come out of it are very much part and parcel of what we create. And I think it's our menu is very product-driven and inspired by what we have, as opposed to what we do with it or some sort of technique, which I think this is what distinguishes it from other countries. But I think also from traveling to those various countries, I think what I realized, and I was always traveling to engage in different food cultures, I realized that we had this already in Ireland, that we just weren't celebrating it. And so for me, the symposium is all about giving confidence to people, whether they're chefs or whether they're producers or whether they're food tourists and they just want to come and explore a place through food. And I think that's what we try and do in the West, is that really try and look at into the landscape and say, well, what sort of food impression does this give us, and how do we translate that into the customer?
Now, you created this food on the edge, and it is. I know that you're having a special, award in a memory of the late American chef and food journalist Anthony Bourdain, who died in June. He again, a kind of world-renowned, a chef, a journalist, and whatever, who had great grow for Ireland, thought very highly of Irish food and Irish traditions.
Yeah, no, and I think it was, we lost many, many different food heroes this year. We lost Paul Bocuse as well, and then Ireland's own Myrtle Allen, who was probably the godmother of Irish cuisine.
Yeah.
But really, I suppose I knew Anthony vicariously through his producer, Nathan Thornburg, and I had met Nathan years ago, and when it happened, I was chatting to Nathan, and I just thought it would be a nice moment or a nice thing to do, because I suppose what Bourdain did was, not only did he inspire a whole bunch of chefs, but I think he really opened the industry out for the better, and people who loved writing or people who loved watching TV shows, and there was many different facets to what Anthony Bourdain did. There wasn't just one thing, and I think he really did bring food to so many different people, and also the whole idea of food travel, and looking at some of the programs he did with No Reservations and that really inspired a lot of people to travel, and his program in Ireland is still watched on YouTube, and I literally just had a look at it there a couple of days ago when he was in Dublin, and he did have a great fondness for the Irish.
Wow. Now, your own restaurants and, again, Eat Galway, tell us how that came about with your, Michelin starred, restaurant in Galway. That's got to be the Academy Award, in the food line. And how did that come about, and what was your own reaction to it?
Well, certainly, I think the best way to describe it was like an avalanche hitting the restaurant. We opened up, and then 14 months later, we were awarded a Michelin star, and really it wasn't something that we thought we had in our sights. We were doing what we were doing, and we felt that we wanted to shine a light on Irish food and Irish cuisine, like in a very contemporary way, you know, with a certain lightness and a lot more shellfish and a lot more wild food. And I suppose things for me that had been forgotten about through the course of Irish food history. And so it was really it was a shock to the system, and it really did put a lot of pressure on the restaurant and on the staff. And now 7 years later, I suppose it still carries with it. It is an international accolade, and it's probably the driving force of that brings most of our customers to India. As I said to you already, there's so many we get so many Americans from New York, Boston, Washington, Chicago, Los Angeles, all coming to Galway to near because of the Michelin star. Now, and that brings with it a certain amount of pressure, because, I mean, you're representing, or you're not only representing yourself, but you're also representing Irish food in the capacity. So, yeah, like, I suppose every day brings its challenges, but it's a joy to be able to serve the people, particularly when they come to see Ireland, you know?
You know, from around the world again, critics will go to, will go to Ireland, will visit Ireland. But at the end of the day, even though, 99% of the critics will give Ireland credit for what it is, and an amazing country, you know, which specializes in food, in fresh food. At the end of the day, it is the tourists, it is those, you know, who come to Ireland, who have that, many of them still kind of, surprised at what they're getting, but who have the yen just to, you know, just to see what this world publicity about Ireland and food is about. Do you cater particularly, for instance, for the different ethnic groups that come, or do you stick pretty much to your own creations, and is that it?
I suppose we do. We have three different restaurants. One is an area that I suppose specializes in contemporary Irish food, and it's a fine dining restaurant. It's very small, it's 24 seats, but our first restaurant that we opened was a Spanish tapas bar, and that's probably the busiest restaurant that we have. And I mean, I love the Iberian food and Mediterranean food as well, and we really try and bring that kind of sense of warmth to Galway in that matter. And then our little cafe and wine bar, which has a lot of small Irish plates with different kind of influences. So for me, like, I wouldn't tie myself to one food in particular, and I'm very interested in how, I suppose, how food brings people together. And I think that's the most important thing. I think the style of food is less important to where the food comes from and where the product was produced. And I think that has a story. And I suppose for me, I'm very interested in trying to tell that story. And I think every ethnic group and every culture has those stories, and I love the way that comes about through food.
Yeah. Also, you know, the Cook It Raw ambassador in Ireland, to get that kind of title and recognition. If you can cut to, excuse the pun, how that and what you mean by that, and Cook It Raw. What has that got to do with? Is that pretty much the cooking, or parochializing it to local butchers, local suppliers? Tell us how that works.
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's certainly the rawness, but in terms of the food, but it's also the rawness in terms of trying to take things back to an elemental quality, you know, and I think that's where the rawness kind of comes out.
You know, the Galway Food on the Edge and the International Food Summit in Galway that's taking place, it is considered the G8 Summit of food and food culture. And it is, again, many would say, well, if you're going to do this, no better place than Galway. And we want to congratulate you indeed, you know, for getting this off the ground. And again, we think of Galway, we think of Galway Bay, we think of obviously of what the sea has to offer, what the bay has to offer there. But Irish food is much more than that. And for you and those who are gathering in Galway, we want to send you very special greetings from here. You know, and
thank you very much. No, and I think it's great to be talking to you as well. I think the more, I suppose, the more we spread the news, the more people realise that there is really something amazing happening in the Irish food movement at the moment. And I always think that we're only 5 or 10 years in, and there's so much more to do. And I think over the next couple of years, it is going to just become better and better.
You know, again, it's great to be. I was going to just strictly for curiosity. There's a lot of pot walloping and stuff going on there in the background. Where are you?
Oh, the kitchen. The kitchen is. I'm in the restaurant at the moment. We have a table coming in half an hour. So
oh no,
sorry,
no. I'm saying it's you know, that brings authenticity to this whole thing. But there is when you have a table, when you have a bunch of people who are coming into your restaurant, do many of them come in without a reservation? Do they just kind of show up at the door and say, here we are?
It depends which one. I mean, in an ear, people generally book. I mean, we generally have space as well. So it's a lot of times, most of the people who are traveling are traveling to or traveling from a great distance,
yeah,
which would generally always book. But I mean, no. I mean, we have plenty of walk-ins. I mean, Galway is a very vibrant city, and it's quite a small medieval city, as you know.
Yeah.
So it encourages people to walk around.
And it is, again, it's not just, this is not just a seasonal area. Ireland has become a year-round tourist attraction, and definitely it's a new day, and are we ever proud of what you you, those, again, you know, who are in the food business throughout Ireland. You're definitely doing a tremendous service, and it is great to know that this is not a, you know, a competition, but rather, you know, a highlight of what Ireland has to offer. And again, congratulations, you know, to you, and say hello to some of the others that are there too, you know.
I will indeed. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Okay, friends, I think since we're live in Galway, maybe there's a song here that should resonate. No, it's not Galway Bay. Galway Bay song, but it kind of, this is an update of Galway song.
On the long walk of the day, I met a little girl and stopped to talk and find something, and I asked her friend, what's a fella do?